access platforms are fantastic, but there's a lot of people stepping into funds that they don't have no idea how they're working, and they don't know how liquidity is managed and the expectations on how to manage cash. All of that is, I think, really critical, and I think there's opportunity for a provider to step into that. I think Canoe can be that. We're really well positioned to do that. It's going to take a lot. And I think technology is going to be a key driver in that.
Hey, and welcome to the Momentum Podcast, the show where fintech meets AI. I'm your host, Stan Altschuler, investor, founder, and advisor to some of the world's top hedge funds, asset managers, and data companies. Each week, we'll dive into practical AI strategies to help you cut through the noise, beat data overload, build smarter workflows, and turn your ideas into results. We'll explore everything from AI tools for your daily workflows to building data-driven growth engines for your organizations. Here, you'll discover what's next in finance and how to stay ahead of the curve with AI. Let's dive in. All right, here we go. Welcome everybody to the Momentum Podcast. And today we have Mike Muniz joining us. He is the Chief Strategy Officer at Canoe Intelligence, which is a leading platform in alternative investments automation. And I also want to say that I've known Mike for many years. We're great friends. So this is going to be conducive to a good friendly discussion. We're still going to dig deep and ask him a bunch of questions as to what he's working on and how it translates to creating real value for his target persona, which are really investors in alternative investment industry. So we're going to kick it off. Mike, it's great to see you, man. Welcome.
It's great to be here, Stan. As you said, we go way back. So this is fun, and love what you're doing. Happy to be here. Happy to dig in. Look forward to it.
Yeah, so we're having a lot of these conversations where, you know, I get leaders in fintech to just come on and talk about what are the big problems that they're solving. It's a really interesting time right now because the technology is changing so quickly. The way we interact with, you know, each other and computers and data and all the stuff that's kind of like second nature to us is changing. And this is why I like to pull in some of the leading minds and get your thoughts, get kind of like a bearings, like what it is that you're thinking about, what it is that you're working on. But maybe we can kick it off and start with just kind of like tell us a bit about yourself, maybe a bit of background, touch on the journey a little bit that got you to where you are right now, which is Chief Strategy Officer. If you could just kick it off and give us that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so as you mentioned, I'm Chief Strategy Officer of Canoe. I'm one of the co-founders of the business we launched in 2017. And for the first 7 years of the company, I spent, you know, time in a CRO role. So really kind of building out the commercial engine, working with clients, prospects, partners. What we do at Canoe is we automate typically the post-investment operational workflows for anyone investing in and allocating to private or alternative funds. So what I like just to sort of give the analogy is, you know, I can go into my Fidelity account, log in on a daily basis and see how I'm positioned, how I'm performing, what I'm holding. If you're a college endowment or a single family office or a fund of funds or a secondaries or insurance companies, the list goes on. Anyone investing in alternative private equity funds, venture funds, hedge funds, you don't have the ability to do that, right? So instead of logging in and seeing how I'm positioned, I'm, as a college endowment, receiving hundreds of PDF statements, and they're coming in at different times, different frequencies, and different places and locations. And I've got to somehow make sense of all this, get the data out, structure it, normalize it, standardize it, feed it into a system that will then do everything that I can do in my Fidelity account. Takes a ton of time. It's a you know, tremendous amount of risk cost to a business. We come in at Canoe and we automate the entire process. And so a little bit about me, I started my career at Cambridge Associates. I was on the investing side, so I saw this problem, right? So we had 200 people in Arlington, Virginia, working around the clock, gathering documents, processing data, feeding that data to our consultants. That report would show up on my desk, I'd review it, I'd find errors, I'd send it back, and we'd rinse and repeat this whole cycle. A lot of inefficiency in that process, a lot of cost, and ultimately a lot of client friction. So I saw early on there's got to be a better way. I was fortunate enough, you thankfully brought me into Novus and had just an amazing experience there.
Lucky for us.
But you know, that sort of is where I cut my teeth. That's really where I think of, like, my business school was Novus. Cut my teeth in the fintech startup world, fell in love with building businesses and operating companies. Yeah. But similarly, you know, we saw the challenges with respect to scale in document and data processing, right? We had our team overseas who, you know, cost a lot of money and you know, couldn't scale at the volumes that we were growing at. And so those two kind of, you know, experiences stuck with me. I was lucky enough to get brought into a family office in New York City in 2017 who'd built this technology, incubated it, technology that would ultimately become Canoe. And they were really jazzed about this front end accounting solution that they built, and they wanted to commercialize and monetize the front end. Dime a dozen, right? That's a saturated market.
Right.
What my partner Seth and I found was, how do you get the data in? Where, you know, where is this coming from? Where's your offshore team? What's your back office look like? Yes. They said, we use technology. And so a light bulb went off for us. We went through a process to really dig in and ultimately spin that technology out of the single family office and build Canoe.
And this is really interesting, is that's serendipity. And this is the gap in the market that you found, right? Because when you think about your client base that I'm also deeply familiar with, they very often lack that expertise internally, that expertise to get the data in a good place, kind of like the way you phrase it. How do you get the data in there before you even put the charts on? It is tough for an endowment or foundation to build sort of that operation out internally. The talent is hard to come by and all sorts of other logistical issues, right? It's expensive. So it's quite interesting how you almost, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like you stumbled on a bigger problem that goes beyond just, you know, doing analytics on top of the data. It's that data.
Yes.
And if you could maybe elaborate on that, make that gap even more palpable for people.
Yep.
Like if the endowments or these pensions, these big LPs, investors tried to do what you do internally, like what is the actual problem? Yes. Like what are the roadblocks? Why did they just say, no way, you know, you guys, like light years ahead.
So ultimately our clients are investors. And their job is to invest, and they're very good. They're world-class investors. Our clients are not world-class technologists. Our clients are not world-class data analysts. Those are different skills. And, you know, I think it is, this is what I think is just amazing about AI and how technology has evolved in general. We say to our clients in the market is, hey, look, we're going to automate all of the mundane, monotonous data work that is required for you to get to your investment decision. But we're going to allow you to focus on what makes you unique. And that's all of the investing calculus around allocating capital. We'll take off all the other work from your plate so that you as an investment professional, you as a firm, can focus on what you do best. And that's generating alpha, and that's allocating resources to doing that. And so that really resonates, and I think is not just, you know, Canoe, we've been fortunate enough to build an amazing client base off the back of that concept. But this, I think, is like technology and AI in general. That's what I think is so exciting about where this is heading. I don't think it displaces people. It repositions people to do what makes you different and unique. And that's been, I think, really, really compelling for us. What we say is, you know,
that's interesting.
The value for our clients is, we create operational leverage, we reduce risk across the org, and then I think most importantly is we allow clients to get to decisions faster and more reliably, right? We don't make the decisions for them. We help them get to the decision with more trust, confidence, and much faster.
Can we dig in? So to the extent that you're comfortable sharing, without naming names, obviously, but can you give you know, our viewers and listeners a little bit of color of an actual problem you've solved? Like this was the current state, and what were you able to do for these people and what the aha moment was?
So I'll give you two examples that are, I think we, you know, sort of anchor a lot of our case studies and testimonials. We worked with one of the world's largest banks and administrators in their what we call institutional asset servicing business. So this is sort of the custodian of thousands of asset owners, endowments, foundations, pensions, family offices. They run the books and records for these institutions. As part of that, they need to do the same thing the institution does. And that means they need to go get the documents, they need to process the capital calls, process the account statements, process the financial statements, process the tax docs, and produce reporting and verified reporting and closed books with this information. So historically, that's been, you know, resulted in massive offshore teams, right? So this client in particular had about 500 individuals in China, working multiple locations. You know, their entire job is gather documents from alternative funds, process data, and create reports for clients. You can imagine the cost of 500 bodies. And you can imagine the inefficiency, right? Fat fingers, latency, time, scale, like.
And the quality of life of like entering data over and over again, because you've got mostly similar reports, just the numbers are different every month.
So you got employee turnover, you got brain drain, you got people onshore who audit these reports and find all these. I mean, this is a massive cycle. So,
man, sounds like a perfect one for a nice technology solution.
Exactly. So we came in and we implemented Canoe, and you know, I think as of this was 4 years ago, as of today, I think that team in China allocated toward the work that they were doing before Canoe is now 25 people. And so, you know, you think of the 500 to 25 massive efficiency, but in addition, the speed to reporting, the quality of reporting reduces cycles with clients, and it, you know, allows them to start thinking about, all right, how do we serve these clients? How do we produce analytics and insights for these clients with the capacity we now have?
The scale of that is massive. And thank you for that anecdote. Yeah. It illustrates for the people listening just how much efficiency can be had. And I think there's also like a human element, like you touched on this very briefly. There's a human element, right? The folks that used to do the data entry are now kind of like almost elevated to a level where they're overseeing the technology. Maybe they're still finding issues and course correcting along the way, but that the level of work all of a sudden went up a notch, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but like the quality of life should also see an improvement.
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah. You know, there is an element of administration and oversight for sure.
Of course. Yep.
But what we find is the time that you had historically spent on logging into a portal to download a document and then looking at that document fingers on keys into a database.
Right.
You now have a technology that does all that for you. You can review, you're basically flagged exceptions where your expertise is required, but you can start to think about, okay, what is the data telling me? What are the trends that are changing in this data? How are my managers marking their books differently from last period or relative to other managers? And the level of engagement and value that you can derive as that same individual is very, very, very different. And I think obviously, you know, you want to, as an employee anywhere, you want to make an impact. I think it's the level of impact that you can make, the leverage that you now have is significant.
That is it. That's a theme that we hear kind of recur in these interviews and conversations that we're having. It's the leverage that you're after.
Yes.
How does technology not replace people, but just give them more leverage, allowing one person to be more efficient, improve the quality of life, and actually move the needle more for the company.
Yes.
And let's just maybe it's not even a big pivot, but like let's push that theme forward.
Yep.
If you think about kind of how far we've come along with technology, how obviously your solution and you know offerings have evolved. What if you think a little bit forward, right? With all this Gen AI and this wide acceptance of AI by like seemingly everybody, right? How do you see that? How do you juxtapose that with the actual success rate of adopting AI in enterprise? It's quite low.
Yes.
So the failure is actually quite high. How do you see this evolving inside your business?
Man, it's such a good question. It's one of those like kind of crystal ball type questions. I'll give you some thought. Like, here's why I think AI applications have tended to fail. Two reasons from my perspective, and a limited perspective. One is these are generally point solutions that fit, solve a very specific problem, but don't consider the entirety of the workflow. And so it becomes a tool, not a solution. Yeah. And that's, like selfishly at Canoe, we've always, our magic has been data extraction, document processing, like that. We've used AI for 8 years.
Oh yeah.
But we've built the workflow around this process. So like understanding start to finish jobs to be done, the solution needs to automate everything. And so like instead of a point, so I think that's a key piece. One, two, data, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah. Right. And there are industries that are okay with the 80-20 rule. Where we live, you've got to be 100% accurate 100% of the time. So data fidelity is important, but so that means then you need to really fine tune the models. You need really large data training sets, and you need a real thorough understanding of the data sets and the nuance and how to account for these things embedded into the technology. That's hard to build.
And that's where AI struggles, is that it lacks context.
For sure.
It lacks that context of where you are in the workflow, what the workflow even is, what the why is, what the job is. And I love that you brought up jobs to be done, by the way. But you're painting a really very, very clear picture. Yeah.
So, that's why I think AI has been maybe slower to be adopted. Now, going forward, I do think that changes, because you can start to see how quickly some of these, large language models are embedding inference and interpretation. I mean, it's really impressive. I still think though that the owners of the data are best positioned. And I think that's how we've thought about it from our perspective, is you can go as a, insurance company, use the latest Microsoft data extraction technology, or you can use ChatGPT. They don't have the data and the nuance embedded in the way that an industry's specific purpose-built technology does. And so that's where we've sort of protected ourselves and built a moat. I think that becomes really interesting for us now too, to think about what can we now do? We can point technology to the data that we have and derive really unique insight on a market that's been generally opaque since 1970, right?
That's very exciting. There's some very, very, very exciting potential there. I think, the way you phrase this makes a lot of sense, that AI in and of itself lacks the insight and the nuance and the context of the full workflow.
Yep.
And where businesses can actually build a moat is to understand the full workflow, from A to Z, really understand the job, right? The problem they're trying to solve, and apply AI maybe along the steps, but there's multiple steps in the journey, and that whatever the technology solution is, I think what you're saying is you need to understand the full workflow in its entirety, else you're going to have these one-off tools and quickly realize that, oh, it's stupid, or oh, doesn't work, this is a waste of our time. Nobody knows how to use it correctly.
Exactly.
So this is great. And what's the, coming full circle, what are you really excited about the future? How do you wake up and think about, this is an emerging trend that we're definitely going to jump on, and, our clients are seeing it too. We're getting some traction. What are you really excited about versus what are the risks? What are you worried about? And it could be literally anything, AI taking over or something, anything at all. It's more personal level.
Yeah. What am I most excited about? I think that, if you look at the space that we're in and that you've been in, Stan, historically, it's a very, as I said, opaque market. And that's been kind of by design.
By design.
And I think you're starting to see a bit of, and I don't love this word because I think it's buzzy, but a little bit of democratization in access to private capital through the platforms like iCapital and Case. I still think there is an information asymmetry that exists in privates in a way that publics is sort of like that's been dissolved. What I think, you know, I do think there's an opportunity for, in the private capital markets, a player to emerge as sort of the Bloomberg of alts and shed light on the industry in a way that it's never been sort of lit up. And that's not to, you know, take away, you know, any of the, to take away any of like the, you know, there's part of a reason for that in terms of like GPs need to have that sort of protection in how they're making investments. But I do think that there's, it will never be like the public markets, but I do think we can move much closer to that and make the pair that insight and light with access to make private market investing a lot more palatable beyond just the institution. And I think that's really important personally. Like you need to know what you're investing in. These access platforms are fantastic, but there's a lot of people stepping into funds that they don't have no idea how they're working, and they don't know how liquidity is managed and the expectations on how to manage cash. All of that is, I think, really critical. And I think there's opportunity for a provider to step into that. I think Canoe can be that. We're really well positioned to do that. It's going to take a lot. And I think technology is going to be a key driver in that.
Well, you know how to get me excited with thinking about the future, like transparency and analytics and the democratization of the data that's usually kept kind of like very, very close to the vest and hidden because of this idea of secret sauce and not letting anything out. And there's also competition for managers, and there's a lot of nuance in the space that kind of validates that mode of thinking.
Yes.
But also there's a lot of opportunity to push that barrier a little further. So it definitely gets me excited just thinking about it. I'm very excited for you, Mike. And if we've got, investors listening right now, LPs, just learning about Canoe, where do they go to find out more about you? How do they maybe contact you or contact someone who can explain, you know, how you guys work with clients and where they can learn more about your services?
Shameless plug here, canoeintelligence.com.
That's what I want.
Yeah, hop over. We've got, you can click sort of learn more or request a demo. I'm happy to, look me up on LinkedIn, send a message. My email is mike@canoeintelligence.com. I'm super accessible. I hope I don't get spammed now, but we've always been client first, and we're happy to tell you more about what we're doing and how we can help. One thing I was going to say, Stan, and back to your comment earlier about the transparency piece. One thing I've always admired about you is, I think you, when you were at Novus, built sort of fintech's first research marketing strategy. You took a model that worked with buy side, sell side, with banks, where research was a gateway to, accessing more services. And you applied that at Novus, and it was amazing. And I think it was the first, well-documented success story there. I think now you look at that as a sort of marketing strategy. It's a key pillar. I think that
we
can take that in what you did in the hedge fund space, and in a similar way, there's opportunity in the private space, either through Canoe or through other providers. But I think that's going to be a key piece to this overall sort of market education in how investor, the type of investor investing into privates is changing. And I think that's going to help.
I believe it. And thank you so much for your kind words. It did feel like, together with you and the whole team, we built something really special, and we definitely pushed the envelope a little bit on transparency. We actually did research studies on where the current level of transparency even is, what percent of our managers provide exposure. Like, people did not know. There was complete opacity. Nobody knew. So they couldn't come back to their managers and say, hey, I'd really like a little bit more than just one performance number, net and gross.
Exactly.
And I think that's fair. I think it's okay for there to be a little bit more transparency up until it encroaches on the secret sauce. Totally. And then that's where we stop. Right. Yeah. But yeah, no, thank you. I really do feel that even in this day and age where attention spans are very short, there is a lot of noise, and I'm sure you are getting spammed. Like everyone who's listening is getting a lot of, requests for their attention from everywhere. There is still room to create value-added content that resonates, that helps people think about their challenges and problems in a different light, that helps them discover new technology solutions that can make the lives of their employees a lot easier and their reporting a lot better and data management a lot better. There's still room for that in an organic, non-pushing, non-salesy way.
Yep.
So yeah, I thank you for throwing me a bone and bringing that up.
Yeah, I completely agree. That there, I think you've seen it, and I think it will continue. It's a key part of SaaS fintech solutions marketing strategy. It has to be.
Mike, thank you so much for sharing your insight, for sharing your journey. This was amazing. Can't thank you enough. Yep, everybody who wants to reach out to Mike, please do with Canoe Intelligence. And we'll see you next time on the Momentum Podcast.
Thanks, Stan. Really fun. This was great. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning into Momentum. If you found today's episode valuable, don't forget to follow the show and share it with your network. This helps us a lot. To explore how AI can help your firm, visit acadia.im. I'm Stan Altschuler, and I'll see you next week with more practical insights to help turn data into growth and decisions into results with the help of AI.